All right, good morning. So today, we're going to talk about power of advocacy and the many resources that we have at APHA to support you in your advocacy efforts. And before we dive into all of the materials and resources that we have and discussing the importance of advocacy, I wanted to start off with this inspirational quote, especially early on a Sunday morning. I have a few bar charts coming up, and I wanted to warm everybody up with a quote by Howard Zinn. It says, "Democracy is not just a counting up of votes, it is a counting up of action. Without those on the bottom acting out their desires for justice, as the government acts out its needs, and power and privilege act out theirs, the scales of democracy will be off." And I think this is really important in highlighting the importance of advocacy and getting involved and speaking out what's important for the public's health. And I recognize that there are a lot of frustrations and overwhelming cynicism as to whether Congress listens to citizens and listens to people. And I know a lot of us, Don and myself, share those frustrations. We often talk about it ourselves, and especially with this growing rift that you see between the left and the right in Congress. And I think what helps me, at least, is every once in a while taking a step back and recognizing that, you know, history shows that Congress is not typically the first one that initiates change and makes those changes. That if we look at it over the past century, you look at the progressive reforms of the 1900, between 1900 and 1916, and then the New Deal of the 1930s, the civil rights struggle of the 50s and 60s, and then the environmental reforms of the 70s, that all of that took a critical mass of people speaking out for what they wanted, to make a strong case that the country wanted those changes, and they were ready for those changes. And I think the same is true and will be true, and we're seeing is true with moving and shifting to this culture of health, to a system and environment that supports and keeps people healthy, and that embeds this idea of health in everything, in health and well-being, in all aspects of policy, of legislation, of regulations, so that we can move away from this model, this reactive model, and a culture of quick fixes. So that, and we're going to need a really meaningful dialogue, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take the active engagement of many, many people. So with that, looking a little bit more into what is APHA advocacy and the importance of advocacy, there's really the potential to help shape the national debate on many of these issues that impact our nation's health, and to educate and to move Congress by interacting and communicating with them. So specifically in terms of APHA advocacy, our overarching goal is to become the healthiest nation in one generation. And we as staff do this by engaging in advocacy and lobbying and communications efforts. And we also do this by trying to provide opportunities for members, affiliates, and others so that they can become engaged and so that we have this unified and loud voice for public health. And that's exactly why we need all of you, that your voice is absolutely essential to be able to amplify this message and also to contribute your professional expertise from your given area that you work in. And also, I wanted to highlight that there's a very unique role as a constituent, that your role is very unique from ours as APHA or as lobbyists, in that the elected officials represent you and they have a vested interest in your opinion, whether it's a real interest in, you know, the health of the public, of the people that they represent, and also for their own job security, of course, that, you know, they need to know that the public is behind them and that supports them and that they're ready for this change. So, as promised, a bar chart to get us off started. And here, I think this really also highlights the last point that I made from the previous slide, that your role as a constituent is very unique from our role, and that you have a great potential to influence your members of Congress, especially this is looking at if your member of Congress has not already arrived at a firm decision on an issue. At the top, you see that an in-person visit from a constituent is very influential and has a lot of potential there. And just going down the row, you know, you have in-person visits, you have individualized email messages, phone calls, just a quick phone call or making a comment during a town hall, even a telephone town hall, it trumps Don and myself, a visit from a lobbyist, the yellow arrow that you see there. And then I also want to highlight that towards the bottom you see four messages that although they have a potential to make an impact, it's a little bit lower than, or definitely it's lower than an individualized email message. So that speaks to the importance of being able to personalize your message. And again, this is just to say that there's a lot more power and potential than often people realize, being able to just engage in some of these simple activities. So I wanted to hone in on that action alert or the email message, and that the content is absolutely critical. So it's all about the content. And our action alerts that go out, they're editable by the user, so we like to leave a portion so that you can include information that's either talking about the impact of the bill on the state or district, your reason for supporting or opposing the bill, or a relevant story, and you can see that each one has a bit of it, that it's just that personal touch can go a long way in differentiating that message over the form email message, but that even just pressing send, filling in your name, has some good potential there. And looking at, since I know you haven't had enough of bar charts yet, this one is looking at our action alerts that we send out from APHA, that members, affiliates, and others. So this is how many are being sent to Congress, and this is looking at, I believe, our action alerts from year to date, essentially. And as you can see, there's a good response, but it's definitely far below the capacity that we have. Many members, many more members than are responding. We see that many members are not responding whatsoever. And you as APHA leaders, it's absolutely critical and helpful that if you're responding and then also encouraging the people in your sections, your components, and your affiliate, and asking them also to respond and letting them know why it's important to you or your section or your particular area that you're working in. I'd also like to mention that we will have two action alert emails coming out during the annual meeting. One will be coming to you while you're sitting here today on funding, the importance of funding for public health. So it's a great opportunity to get engaged, to tell your members of Congress, especially as Congress has passed this new budget deal, that, you know, it's absolutely a critical now that there's not necessarily an influx of money, but that there's money being restored, and we're hoping that they prioritize public health as they make their decisions for where that money gets allocated in the upcoming fiscal year. So another opportunity is to engage in congressional visits. And in advocacy, as in any relationship, it's obviously critical for both parties to have a trust in each other. And the trust between the members of Congress and those they represent depends on this honest and robust exchange of ideas. And engaging in in-person visits is a really good opportunity to build that trust so that you start building that personal relationship with them. And it's a good opportunity to share the materials on specific public health issues that you go to them to talk about, that you're able to contribute to their information base. And then share those local stories so that you can craft a rich and personal understanding of the impact of that issue, so that it's no longer just a program on a piece of paper or a line item in their budget, but that it's a real program that is in their district, in their state, and seeing who that really impacts and how that impacts them. And then also to let them know of, you know, who you are, to establish A, your credibility, but also so that you become this trusted resource to the staff, so that when they're engaging in the future, they remember who you are and they reach out to you to get your input, which can have a significant influence on the measures that they start pulling together and putting together. Many APHA leaders take advantage of when they're coming to DC for their board, committee, and council meetings. and going to the Hill and meeting with their members of Congress or the staffers. And I'd encourage you to do this. Over the last year, we had about 180 visits going to Congress, whether it was back home in the districts and states or in DC. But it's a really good opportunity to build that relationship and continue building on it. And this picture is actually of several members from the New Jersey Public Health Association, and they met with Representative Pallone to discuss the importance of public health funding during the August recess, which is a good time when members have a little bit more time on their hands and are able to individually meet with their constituents. And then, whether you've never done a congressional visit or you know of people who have not done a congressional visit, you can maybe thinking back and thinking about the first time, it might have been a little bit intimidating or trying to figure out where to even start. I've talked to folks that didn't know who their elected officials were, and so that can just be a barrier right in itself or feeling a little bit intimidated. So we have some good resources and materials online to help support that, or so even if you know how to do it, you can point people to the website and to the materials. We have some materials that will help folks find their elected officials. We have tips for how to arrange a meeting, and then also a sample meeting request. And then for when you're actually doing the meeting, some tips for conducting that meeting. We're also always more than happy to provide any support or technical assistance. So if you just reach out to Don or myself, we're more than happy to provide that. And then town halls, again, another excellent opportunity to engage with elected officials. Perfect. Kathy Trocy just walked in. This is a picture of Kathy. This was supposed to be Photoshopped, Michelle Obama arms. And now she found out that I lied. I did not Photoshop the arms in. But Kathy is an action board member representing the EPI section. And she attended a town hall in her great state of Texas. And this was hosted by Representative Culberson. She had she was very brave to stand up and speak out amongst this audience and in front of the elected official and asked him, you know, if he knew what the prevention fund was, the prevention and public health fund that was created by the Affordable Care Act, and start a dialogue and ask where he stood. I think what's really important about this is not only speaking out and letting him know that constituents care about this, where they stand on this issue, that not everybody is opposed to the Prevention Fund and the Affordable Care Act, to let him know that there are constituents that care, but also that that then it's moving along. So again, the frustration often comes from saying that my member of Congress either always votes yes or no, opposes or supports public health, and that maybe it doesn't matter then in that case whether I speak out or not. But what we do see is that there are many other opportunities for advocacy to have an influence along that continuum. That, yes, Representative Culberson will most likely not the next day go out publicly and say, yes, now I support the Prevention Fund. I am going to stop attacking it. The Affordable Care Act was the greatest thing that was created. This, you know, we don't expect that. And that doesn't mean that it was a failure. But what happens often is behind closed doors, when they're working in Congress, the staffers or the members of Congress are working, they have conversations that are sometimes a little different than what you see in public, and that they will no longer maybe say, hey, we should use the prevention fund to use as a pay for other programs, that they won't use it as, you know, their talking stick quite as much and use that as a negotiating point. So being able to just move away from it continuously being attacked and no longer using it as a pay for would be a huge step forward, and there's great potential for that. And it also, we've heard from others in Congress that before, other members weren't willing to sit down and talk to them about a staffer to staffer about some different issues, especially if it touched on the Affordable Care Act. But after hearing from constituents that it was able to move it forward and that they said, okay, we might not publicly come out and support, but we're ready to at least sit down and talk and have a conversation about that issue. And so, again, it's these steps forward. So I just wanted to highlight, and I'll just run through these really quick, some of the resources that we have, just so that you know that they're available, that they're out there. We have a ton of fact sheets. We have state-specific fact sheets and then also issue-specific fact sheets. We always have issue-specific fact sheets on the priority issues that we talk about and that we ask you to engage in. And then we have many others. This is just a few of them. We have infographics, reports on issue briefs. And then we also have the vote record that identifies multiple key votes by Congress of importance, significant importance to public health. It comes out every year in the nation's health in the February issue, and it'll give you a good sense of where your member of Congress stands. It essentially gives them a percentage, a rating there. And then I'd also highly recommend checking out our monthly legislative update. It provides summaries of key issues that we've weighed in on over the month and a bit of an outlook of what's to come. We also, that comes out the first Friday of every month, and then it's followed by a phone call on the Monday where Don and I go through the stories, and then we also provide some space for any questions that you might have on those particular issues. And lots of webinars throughout the year as well. And more resources. So these are many of the ones that Don also mentioned, that we write letters to Congress, the White House, federal agencies. We're submitting regulatory comments, testimony for congressional hearings, and then friends of the court briefs to support or oppose different public health-related court cases. And then, of course, APHA policy statements. And I highlight these because oftentimes people don't think of them as materials or resources to use, but these are very rich in content, and they describe why we are supporting or opposing or taking the position that we are taking, the importance of this issue on public health. And so I'd encourage you to take a look at them to see not only how we're engaging, but you can use these as talking points when you meet with your elected officials as well. And then I just wanted to close with this cartoon or quote, the ideological bubble quote. I agree with everyone I talk with and everything I see and listen to and read, and they all agree with me. So, again, it speaks to the importance of engaging with people who might disagree. And this is where we really need to be having those conversations. And they might not be comfortable, and at first it might feel like you're hugging a cactus or a porcupine or whatever it is, but it'll get easier. And also, our second panel today, which I'm pretty excited about, we'll be talking about how to have these conversations so that you can have effective conversations and engaging, so that it's real communication and conversations, and it moves beyond just talking points of one side saying their talking points and then the other side saying theirs, but really coming to this understanding. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mandy.
It was very creepy that she put that up. I usually close this out with my students with a little thing on the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And where that comes from originally is a King has used that, framed it, but it came from a sermon of a New England abolitionist minister in the 1850s, Theodore Parker. And it sets with the principle of the Russian about poetry. That which is read aloud has 10 times the impact of that which is read silently. That recited from the heart has 10 times the impact of that which is read aloud. Listen what Theodore Parker says. This is about advocacy and what we're doing. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. Its arc is long, and I can see but little ways. I cannot calculate its figure or construct its curve by the use of sight. But I can divine it by conscience. And from what I can see, it bends towards justice. That's what we do in public health. That's what you are doing. That's what all of Nicole and your APHA staff is doing. So it's a wonderful time. I applaud everything you do. Thank you very much. You guys are-